Time yet again for the Fandom Podcast Network to make the run for the end zone. Our weekly NFL wrap-up show, we are covering this week, week two of the NFL season. And of course, it's Kyle here, and today is Wednesday, September 21st. But I'm not alone. No. Begrudgingly, I allow the Raider Nerd to join me to end my march to the end zone. But at least I know this week.
That's right, buddy.
My defense actually can stop people.
Yeah, mine's working on that. That's what football does. You try to go forward to score, and then you have the other part of your team to stop people from scoring, right?
Yeah, the last I checked, the D in Raiders was on the back of a milk carton.
Yes, that's true. Well said, by the way. I will take that and like it. Yeah, if you give up, over 1,000 yards in total offense in two games, you have an issue there.
Yeah. You know, I have to admit, I am somewhat surprised by that. I mean, I knew you guys were probably going to have some issues in the pass defense, but I thought your front seven would be a lot better than what they've shown so far.
Yeah, they're just not gelling. Usually they say it takes about four games for a team to kind of show who they really are. And at this point, I'll take a 2-2. We'll see what happens. I'm hoping that these guys get an earful from the coaches, and we'll see what happens. But we'll get more into that a little bit later. What's your first impression of the first or the second week, man? Are we starting to kind of see some true colors and some surprises out there, you think?
Yeah, I think it's still a little early, but a couple things that I can at least make note of coming out of the second week. The Seattle Seahawks are in trouble.
Yeah, definitely. Wilson's got an injury. I'm not sure how bad that is right now. Is there a particular point you wanted to make on that? Because you're not the only one that's saying that.
their offense looks horrid. And, you know, they had offensive line problems the past season, and they really didn't do much to address them in the offseason. And I think they're paying for it. And, I mean, they're not running the football. Russell Wilson's trying to do everything himself, and he's got a bad ankle. They really don't have dynamic receivers. I mean, they've got an amazing defense, but their offense, I think they oversold the pieces they had.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, especially when you go into Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Rams, and put up, 6 points of a team that got blanked over 40 points the week before. Yeah. Am I remembering that correctly?
It was like 28-0. I think was that final score against San Francisco. You know, the bling. Okay,
I thought it was more. But yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But another note for me was in a game that I thought was a measuring stick for here for the local team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They didn't bother to show up against Arizona. Now I didn't have them winning the game because I figured Arizona at home, being a very angry football team after what happened against the Patriots. And, I mean, the Arizona Cardinals are still a high-quality Super Bowl-contending team. But the Bucs came in and just laid down. I mean, Jameis had a horrible game. Their defense, now granted, there were some injuries. Doug Martin went down with a hamstring. They lost one of their best pass rushers in Robert Ayers in that game. But I was disappointed because I thought, if nothing else, the Bucs were kind of maybe at least showing some growth, and I just did. They showed they're not ready for prime time yet.
Yeah, and I want to just check myself here. It was the Seahawks that lost 9-3. Boy, that was an exciting game. But yeah, the Bucs only scored 7 on that. Well, they lost 40-7. That really did surprise me. I actually had them possibly winning that game because, you know, the game before with the Cardinals losing to the Patriots, I was like, oh man, maybe they're kind of. Maybe their colors are showing here, but no, Cardinals are still fighting. So yeah, that did catch me off guard. I got to mention, we're kind of seeing, I think, maybe the decline of something that we saw last year of the Jaguars. The Jaguars were hurting like all first three quarters against the Chargers. And I think it was like they were being blanked a lot. And my fantasy teams, I had their quarterback Bortles, and he was like getting nothing. And I'm like, what, did he get injured? And finally they were able to put up 14 points, but I think some of that was garbage time. They lost 38-14. So that's interesting.
Well, I've got an interesting note about the Jacksonville Jaguars for you, Kevin.
What's that?
Blake Bortles, since he's been in the NFL, has only in his career thrown 3 first quarter touchdowns.
That is weird. Interesting. Huh. So, all right.
Now, I would be remiss if, you know, I gave you a hard time about your Raiders when we opened up the show, but I've got to admit, my Kansas City Chiefs, they took the L against a very good Houston Texans team down in Houston that was looking for a little revenge after last year's playoffs. And there's no excuse for the way the Kansas City offense is playing right now, but I will say this. Kansas City went in without their 2 starting guards on their offensive line, and you can't go against the Houston Texans and J.J. Watt missing 2/5 of your starting offensive line. That's not a good combination.
Yeah, you know, that I actually had your Chiefs winning that game. I was thinking they were going to possibly take that, but do we have to start taking the Texans seriously again and then, like, get disappointed later on that they don't do nothing? Because it seems like they got the parts there. They seem to be playing well. Defense seems okay, but I'm just not quite ready to buy into that yet.
No, I'm not ready yet either. I do think they are. I think this is the year the Texans actually kind of come across more as a legitimate playoff team, but I don't see them at that Super Bowl level yet. I do like Brock Osweiler. I like Bill O'Brien as a head coach. DeAndre Hopkins is one of the best receivers in the game right now. I think a lot of fantasy drafts had him as a high first round pick or high second round pick, but I still think he's kind of underrated for some reason. And of course their defense, when you have JJ Watt and some of the other guys they have on defense, and it looks like they might be finally getting something out of Javion Clowney. I think Houston is a team that is on the right side of the upswing.
Okay. I just want to make a couple quick notes of some teams that, you know, surprises and such. So can you pretty much just pick off anyone from the street and put them into the backup Patriots, you know, quarterback, and they're going to win the game? Because they're a 2-0, and Brady hasn't even played yet.
Well,
and they played against the Dolphins, which had to.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know their defense is pretty good.
Well, here's the thing. As much as I hate to admit it, Bill Belichick is the best coach in football, and it's not even close. I mean, there's guys who I really like Mike Tomlin, a couple other guys, but Bill Belichick is just the best coach of football. But we're going to find out this actually tomorrow night, Kevin, because the New England Patriots go down to, I believe it's down in Houston, but I could be mistaken.
No, it's Texans at Patriots.
Okay. Well, so, either way, rookie quarterback making his first NFL start, Jacoby Brissett, against the Houston Texans, J.J. Watt and the Houston Texans.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I want to go over just the quick scores here just so we kind of know where we're at. So Ravens are now 2-0. They beat the Browns 25-20. Didn't surprise me really much. The game that did surprise me was the Titans squeaking out a win in Detroit 16-15. Your Chiefs, I'm going to say that's kind of a close game. They lost 12-19. To the Texans. Dolphins lost to the Patriots, we just mentioned, 31-24. The Saints, they don't seem to travel very well, but it was a close game, and it was 16-13. They lost to the Giants. Cowboys go to Redskins. Washington, not really kind of feeling, you know, them being very competitive in there. So, but they lost 27-23. 49ers lost to the Panthers 46-27. That score doesn't surprise me too much. What do you think?
Well, a couple of things. I want to hit the Ravens real quick because let's not forget the Ravens had to come back from 20-0 to win that game. They were down 20 quickly to Cleveland.
That's right. I forgot about that.
And I to this point, I just feel bad for Cleveland fan because there's going back to last season, they will have their 5th different starting quarterback in the last 5 games.
They seem to be one of those teams that is similar to my Raiders that were sometimes when they're ahead, they can't quite close it. They let the other team back in. That happened with your Chiefs got back into the game, against the San Diego Chargers. So, yeah.
The other thing I wanted to point out too, Kevin, you talked about the Saints Giants game, and at least early on, something that I want to make a quick note of is the New York Giants spent a ton of money in the offseason on their defense.
Yeah,
signing Janoris Jenkins, Olivier Vernon, and in the past that really hasn't paid off, spending big money on free agents like that. But it seems like it's working for the Giants on their defense, because their defense is vastly improved compared to what it was the last 2 years.
Yeah, I wonder if we needed to start taking that defense serious, as serious as the money was to pay them.
Yeah. But now I have a question for you, though, Kevin. Mm. I want to talk about Monday Night Football real quick.
Oh, yes, you're talking about Eagles and Bears.
Yes. Do we think Carson Wentz is for real at this point, or do we need to see a little more?
Well, he's won a home game and away game in hostile territory against a team that is very competitive at home. But I think we need to also start giving that defense some love as well.
Well,
I think it's a combination of both. If you're 2-0 home and away, that's a step in the right direction to start taking this guy seriously. So we'll see.
I think the ultimate test for fire will be here in week 3, because the Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers come to town.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be a big test there.
That's no longer playing JV teams like the Browns and the Bears.
Right. Well, before we close out, what happened this last week, I just want to mention the Colts lost to the Broncos 34-20. The Broncos defense is still for real. And of course, the Packers lost a close one at the Vikings. And of course, there's some injuries, which we'll touch on that. But I just want to say one real quick on my Raiders at home against the Falcons. I'm not going to say that was a game we should have won personally as a Raiders fan. I wanted them to win, but realistically, I have hardly any memory of when they have won a game and they've won convincingly. So the line was the Raiders were favored like by 4.5 points, and I thought that was generous for what I've seen and the history. They have not won convincingly enough for me to think that that defense can hold a lot of teams. So I'm really hoping that they during this week they get together and start working on that, because the offense, I got to give credit to the Raiders offense. They've got something there, and it's fun to watch. It's exciting. They seem to be gelling. I like our punter as well. He's doing a great job. So I would just like to see them become a little more competitive on both sides of the ball. I'm happy with the offense, like I said, but the defense definitely needs help. One quick note about your team.
I have a question for you about that Raiders game before we move on.
Sure.
Do you think Jack Del Rio got a little overconfident after the 2-point conversion? Because he made a couple of questionable fourth down plays, calls.
I don't know. I thought about that, but when you have an offense that seems to be gelling pretty well, is there a particular call you're referring to?
Well, the one where they were driving and they stalled out around the 50 and went for it on 4th-and-2 when they could have probably, there's a lot of time left. They should have punted and pinned the Falcons back in within their 10 and played some defense.
Yeah, but the problem at that time, though, was that the defense was just giving it up big time. And I think that he wanted to show some confidence in the team like he had the previous week to see if they could pull it off. I just didn't like the play call. I think they got stuffed on the run, if I remember correctly. They should throw a little kind of over some dink and dunker type plays. That's what I would have called on that one. But I'm hoping for a better game. They're traveling to Tennessee this week. I will not be able to make that game, unfortunately, but I was there last year. Good place to see it. Great stadium to watch a game there, by the way. I love Nashville, but hopefully they can pull it out. But it's going to be, I think the Titans are going to be a little bit tougher to play at home than they were last week.
Sorry about that. Let's talk about, this was a big week for injuries.
Oh gosh, yeah. Oh man. Well, I guess we got. I guess we got to start with Adrian Peterson, man.
Yeah. AP went down, and the news broke today. He's probably done for the season. He is having surgery on some torn meniscus, but then it came out a little later, maybe about an hour ago, even Kevin. He tore his LCL ligament as well, which could delay the healing process even longer. And I have a feeling this will be the end of Adrian Peterson for this season, and possibly end of his Vikings career. There's been a lot. I mean, the first two games he was doing nothing, and that's a big cap hit next year for the Vikings, and they're kind of building a younger team right now. And you got to start wondering if it's just the abuse Peterson has taken as being a running back kid. He's about to hit 33 years old. If the mileage is catching up with him.
Also, too, you got Doug Martin out for 3 weeks, and also the Amir Abdullah running back for Detroit. He's out as well. Yeah. Man, it's been kind of a man. Well, a lot of people are getting hurt. It's amazing.
Well, and let's address Jimmy Garoppolo. Went down with a shoulder AC joint sprain. Probably, looking like he's not going to play against Houston, which will be the Thursday night game this week. So you've got him down. Jay Cutler is playing with a sprained thumb now. They're saying he can miss 2 to 3 weeks. The injury bug is catching up. But you know, when we're talking about the injury bug too, that's a big effect for all of you fantasy football players out there.
Yes, good segue. I like that.
So
let's talk a little fantasy here, man.
So now Kevin and I are actually in multiple leagues, but we're going to put our focus. We have an NFL league, which is a trophy league that we're in, Kevin, and you kind of run that.
Yes.
So tell the people about that real quick.
Yeah, the Kevin Reitzel NFL League, as I call it, shamefully. It's a trophy league. We have a little $10 buy-in, and it's just plain and simple. The winner of the league gets a cool trophy that the dues go towards. And my good buddy Bob won it last year. Last year was the first time we ran it, and he's hoping to retain that and get another one. It's a lot of fun because I love doing the NFL league in addition to the ESPN one because of I like the way they do their stats and among other things. But this is the one that we have you in as well, obviously. But we also have our buddy Kat, who is a friend of the Fandom Podcast Network.
My team is
the Raiders.
He did go down this week, by the way. The Static Patriots went down to the power of the Commandos.
Yes, Kyle's team, Kyle's Commandos played Kat's Static Patriots. He's a big Patriots fan. And you guys, was this the one where you guys were tied, right?
Going into
the Monday night game?
Yeah, tied, and then some stats adjustments after the Monday night game. And you know how the NFL always makes stats adjustments at the end of the week. And lo and behold, the next thing I know, I was up and winning by 20 points.
And yes, they and Kat was like, dude, what happened? And I'm like, well, there's stat adjustments that they have to do once all the stats are officially confirmed, I guess, by the NFL stat kings, whatever you want to call them. But I just want to mention real quick on our teams. I'm going to Kyle, go ahead and open up your team here. I want to mention who my starters are here. I've got Cam Newton, Matt Forte, Eddie Lacy, AJ Green, Brandon Cooks, Travis Benjamin, Stephon Diggs, Jeremy Langford, and on the bench I've got Blake Bortles, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Darren Sproles, Shane Vereen, Fozzie Whitaker, who I just picked up because I think I lost one of my other running backs. Quincy Unua, the guy from the Jets, Jarvis Landry, Eddie Royal. And I have kickers Dustin Hopkins from Washington and the Miami Dolphins defense going to Cleveland. So name yours off. What you got going on there?
Well, right now in the quarterback position, Ben Roethlisberger is my starting quarterback with Jameis Winston in the backup spot. Running back, I'm a little loaded on. I've got Todd Gurley, Jamaal Charles, who I did handcuff with Spencer Ware. I also have Doug Martin, who is kind of hurting me right now because of injury, but I did also do a handcuff draft of Charles Sims, so I'm covered there. I also have Melvin Gordon, who is about the last running back standing in San Diego at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then lastly, at running back, I have Thomas Rawls of Seattle. Receiver, I have Jermaine Macklin of the Chiefs, Allen Robinson of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Devontae Parker of the Miami Dolphins, Devin Funchess of the Carolina Panthers, Golden Tate of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and then as well as Josh Gordon of the Cleveland Browns. And then also at tight end, I have Julius Thomas of the Jacksonville Jaguars. My kicker is Justin Tucker from the Ravens, and I'm running with the Arizona Cardinals defense.
Yeah, you got a decent team there. I like that. I wanted to also mention to the listeners that I changed things up in my two leagues this year. One of the things I did not like is not getting that good, really tier one tight end. So I took the tight end position only and made it kind of more of a flex position where you could put a running back, you could put a wide receiver. So you didn't have to draft a tight end, but if there was one that's, you know, decent enough to put in there in a slot, you could. Out of curiosity, how did you feel about that, Kyle?
It's an interesting move. I've been in a lot of traditional leagues for a while, so it does kind of throw me off a while, but I think you're good to go either way with the way the NFL is going, where a lot of teams are running a lot of three receiver sets. But I think that, you know, it's the tight end has become a position where it can be a very offensive position now. So, you know, I think it's six does one, half does the other. I think it just comes down to preference. But again, right, you know, you're also talking about with tight ends, you're fairly limited to the amount available. So I think having that flexibility isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Gotcha. Well, let's touch on some fantasy waiver wire possibilities. I know that the running back for he was available in all my leagues, and I haven't picked him up. Josh Ferguson, backup for Indianapolis, and you got Anquan Boldin, wide receiver for Detroit. And I'm looking at the NFL. Our NFL waiver wire right now, the one that you and I are in. I know that a lot of the tight end positions, the good ones are taken up, but we still have Tyler Eifert that's available, even though I know he would probably already be snagged up in other leagues.
Well,
but is there any of these
injured still?
Yeah, that's true. Is there any other some waiver wire pickups that you had been looking at that maybe you got when you, the waiver wire Tuesday was going around?
Obviously, the Minnesota running back situation, Jerick McKinnon will be the starter. However, they will use Matt Asiata, especially on goal line situations. If you're looking for the guy who's probably going to get the most opportunity, it's going to be McKinnon, but look at Asiata to be kind of the goal line thief on touchdowns there, so just be aware of that. Also, you mentioned picking up Fozzie Whitaker, another running back for Carolina, Artis Gilmore-Payne, who played for a couple of games last year, has been inactive the first 2 weeks, but he's probably going to be heavy in the mix, depending on how long Jonathan Stewart is going to be out. Another interesting name to keep an eye on, one of the other players who went down with injury and is done for the year, is Danny Woodhead of the San Diego Chargers. Well, the Chargers went out yesterday and signed Dexter McCluster, formerly of the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tennessee Titans. And McCluster actually is familiar with offensive coordinator Ken Wisenhunt's system, as he was there last year when Wisenhunt was still the coach for the Titans. So
yeah, he's kind of been a journeyman, but he hasn't really kind of exploded with anyone yet. You know, wasn't he also with the Panthers? Am I remembering that right? I can't remember.
No, it was Kansas City to Tennessee. However, okay, with the way the Chargers used Woodhead, if McCluster does have the speed, so as much as they liked using Woodhead, who was a smaller running back in that role, look, maybe in a couple of weeks, maybe take an early flyer on McCluster now and pick him up, because within a couple of weeks he could be a key part of that offense, because Melvin Gordon will be the workhorse, but they're going to use McCluster in a lot of passing situations.
Before, one last bit of note on the fantasy radar here, for people that need to replace a quarterback, whether they had Brock Osweiler or Jimmy Garoppolo or Mr. Bear himself, who would you look at getting? It seems like Joe Flacco's available in some things. Blaine Gabbert, Alex Smith.
Well, the name I'm gonna throw out to people, and it's gonna be kind of surprising, but in a lot of leagues, even in deeper NFL leagues, Sam Bradford is popping up on the free agent wire a lot.
Yeah,
and I think for the first time, Bradford's playing with some quality receivers, especially Stephon Diggs. even with and with especially with Adrian Peterson down, Bradford, if he can stay healthy, and that's always the big question with Sam Bradford. But Bradford, if you're looking to maybe get some quarterback depth, he's never going to be a 400 yard, five touchdown game passer. But I think you can be a good steady 250 yards, two touchdowns out of him this season with Minnesota with the talent around him.
Yeah, I'm seeing Joe Flacco available too, and I think he's a decent pickup because he's 2-0 right now, and he is throwing the ball.
Yeah. So Mike Wallace actually, and if he's out there, a lot of people picked him up after the Cleveland performance, but he had two more touchdowns this past week. A lot of people thought he was washed up, but he's in a system now where he just runs that go route, and Flacco does love to throw the deep ball. He's going to be boom or bust for you, but when he booms, he's going to get you some big points. So keep an eye on Mike Wallace on the waiver wire as well.
Okay. Well, let's look up real quick just a couple of notes on the upcoming games we have, games to note. I think, obviously, like you mentioned, the Thursday night game, Houston at New England. The line is pretty small right now. They have Houston favored by 1 at New England. That's going to be interesting. And, of course, personally, looking forward to the Oakland at Tennessee. But let's look at a couple other name a game or two that you think that might be a game of the week type of situation.
Well, I've got to say, this is kind of a weird week. I like the Denver at Cincinnati game. That's going to be two playoff teams going head-to-head.
Yeah.
I think that's a good – I mean, that Denver quarterback is proven he can play. So let's see what happens there.
Yeah, and I like the Pittsburgh at Philadelphia one too. Yeah, I think that's a game I would watch as well. That's definitely an interesting one there.
Another game that stands out to me that could be a scoring fest – is that Green Bay Detroit game?
Yeah, agreed.
Of course, my boys have a pretty tough road to hoe with the New York Jets. That defense of theirs of the New York Jets is wicked.
Well, I was wondering before we end this here if I could, talk just a little bit of Raiders, if you don't mind, just a tiny bit.
Just once, I suppose I can allow it because I know what you're going to talk about. But there is one rule.
It's what's that?
You have to talk like John Placenda for this.
Okay. All right. First of all, let me talk about. I'm going to talk about the Autumn Wind, which is the song that you play at the end of these.
Wait, hold on.
These shows that we're doing for the NFL. Huh? You gonna play it?
Yeah, give me a second here. You keep talking. I'm gonna.
Okay. The Autumn Wind is a sports themed poem that was written by former NFL Films president and co-founder Steve Sable, legend. he's the son and founder of Ed Sable, describing the atmosphere of the autumn weather, and it relates to the pro football season. But it's synonymous with the unofficial team anthem of the Oakland Raiders, and is often heard blaring out the sound speakers at Raider games, and it's narrated by John Facenda. And this was done in 1974 and has been dubbed the Battle Hymn of Raider Nation. And this was something that Al Davis got latched onto in 1974 after they did kind of a recap of the NFL, the Oakland Raiders NFL thing. But what's really cool about the song is it actually has lines. And I'm going to say a couple of those right now. The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash with a silver hat about his head and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold, and these trees shall shake and quiver and quake. As he robs them of their gold, the autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won. Anyway, thanks for indulging me on that, Kyle.
Absolutely. I have to admit, it is a classic song. I mean, I am a huge fan of all that classic NFL film stuff.
I love those old NFL songs, and I'm glad you've chosen one for the beginning of this. But I just loved watching those old videos of all the teams just showing all those great players. And the NFL films just did a great job with the music and putting all those great scenes in. And the Sable films did that. Those guys are legends, and they will always be remembered for that. But we just thought we'd mention that we have other shows here on the Fandom Podcast Network. We've got a Culture Clash that Kyle and I co-host each week, talking about all the recent fandom news, nerdy and geeky. Got the Bloody Kings Highlander podcast dedicated that I co-host with our fellow co-founder Norman. Got Couch Potato Theater coming up with The Last Starfighter, one of those films that you just kind of like to watch when you're sitting on the couch and enjoying seeing an old movie. And we like to, you know, highlight old cult favorite films. So we're going to be doing that one. Fandom Flashback, we're doing the year of 1986, the year of movies. Those are all the 30th anniversary of those films. We have an artist spotlight with Jamie Costley, who did some artwork for us. And on the Fandom Podcast Network, you can find us at iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. We're also on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network. And on Twitter, you can find us at FanPod Network. Kyle, where can we find you on Twitter?
At AKyleW on the Twitter. And, of course, we have Instagram as well. So we are all over the place, Kevin.
Yes, definitely. Please check us out. And also look for us if you are a big Highlander fan. Check out the Highlander Blood of Kings fandom group on Facebook. Email bloodofkingspodcast@gmail.com and bloodofkingspod on Twitter. And Norman, co-host there, is at Starfighter 1701. Well, that's our second week, man. I'm looking forward to it. This third week's going to be kind of crucial for a lot of teams because we're going to find out who the pretenders are. True colors are going to start showing, and the teams that start gelling are going to start making their move right now.
Absolutely. So without further ado, we will see you next week, week 3, in the end zone.